happy about that, because that's where God's got me. Somebody said, I bring you greetings from Northlands again. How many of you were not here last week? Not here last week. Well, greetings to all of you from Northlands. We love you. We're honored to know you. We're so happy that you guys have chosen to relate to us, that you've said, hey, we like you guys and we like what you're doing, and can we get in on that? And we say, yes, please. We are thrilled. We're honored. We really are. I mean that. And if you talk to the leadership there, they'll tell you we're thrilled that you guys are on board. There's a lot of buzz in Atlanta about what's going on down in Dothan. So you guys are making us happy. So just want to greet you in the Lord. And for those of you who were here last week, did you hear your father last week? Did you hear his voice? I love that, because you'll forget me. You know, they'll say, who was that guy? I don't know. But when God speaks, it's awesome. And there are a couple of words here this morning that said that that the Lord was going to speak to us, that he was going to, who said renew? Renewal? Anybody up for renewal this morning? A little bit of renewal? So the Lord wants to, he wants to renew. That's kind of what I have in my notes. And by my clock, I've got to do this fairly quickly. Are you serious? Did I do that wrong? I've got what? 2 hours? What'd you say? Yes. Well, no, we will. I tell you what, if you'll believe fast, you know, I'll get to work. I will too, and I'm sorry that Alan, you were in Atlanta when I did the kingdom message, weren't you? Somebody was telling me that they said, all right, now, you know, we're going to do this message, this big message on the kingdom, whatever, and we got some words and some things and some stuff happened and miracles and whatever, testimonies, and came down. We had about 15 minutes left. All right, so here's the kingdom in 15 minutes. And, man, we, you know, I had to belt it out. So I'm going to kind of do that with you today, but it's okay because what the Lord wants to do, I always ask God, and this is a good policy, always ask God, if you're speaking, if you're the man with the microphone, ask God, what are you doing? How many of you know God is dying to speak to his people? Huh? He's got something to say. So don't ever just get up and say what you think. Our objective when I get the mic is to unburden God's heart. I want him to feel like when I've done speaking, he says, oh man, I'm so glad somebody said that. I've been waiting for somebody to say that right there. That's what I shoot for. And so this morning, I feel like God is trying. I'm going to redo this thing. This cord seems a little short for me. I don't know why it's tugging at me. I'm going to just stick it there. It won't look like much, but hey, I didn't shave either, so we're okay. I want to talk to you this morning about the gospel. The gospel. The good news. Got some good news this morning, didn't we, Johnny? Isn't that good news? I mean, I was inside. I was dancing when I hear about somebody set free. Good to be free. And what I think God is, what he's trying to do, let me look and see what he said. He said he wants to remind you. This morning, God wants to just remind you of the goodness of the gospel. People preaching all sorts of stuff right now on TV. Not much gospel in it. Because gospel makes you want to shout. It's almost like you hear it and you go, that's good. Is that, did he say that right? That seems too good for me. That's the gospel. That's what Paul, they kept saying. This seems too easy. Everywhere Paul went, they said, this stuff, surely it can't be that easy. Well, it is. It's wonderful. So I want to just remind you and want to renew your partnership in the gospel. We have a partnership, amen? That's what connects us together. We were born from the same gospel. Amen? Together. We work together. That's how Atlanta and Dothan are sewn together. That's why we're connecting, is because we have a partnership in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians 15, I just want to read it quickly, and then we'll go down our list of why. What I want to tell you this morning is why It's good news. What makes it so good? 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." How many of you have heard the gospel and believed it and taken a stand on it? Well, I just want to remind you of that. So I'm not going to tell you anything new today. You can just go ahead and turn off that. I'm not going to bring you anything new because God, I asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, "My people hear what I want to do this morning. I want to remind them." Okay? So if you're on board with that, if not, get mad at God because he's the one that decided to do that. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter and to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the other apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And that's Paul saying that. So he says, I want to remind you of this gospel that I preached. How many of you, it's been more than 5 years since you heard the gospel and believed it? More than 5 years. So you're more than 5 years old in the Lord. How about more than 10? All right, keep them up there. Let's see, who's got 15? Oh, yeah, here we go. Who's got 20? Who's got 25? All right, that's where I come down. I ain't that old yet. 25, 30, 40, 50. I ain't going to ask any more than that. Could get embarrassing. Hey, you know, after a while, you start to brag. You say, yeah, I'm 72 and a half come my next birthday. You know, it's been a while, maybe. But he says, I want to remind you on what you took your stand. So this morning, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to just rip through with the time I have. And, how much time do I have? Well, I don't like that answer. I like to know. Who's going to walk out first? Let me see you. And just tell me what's my tolerance. Okay. Well, half hour? If you give me a half hour, I'll get you out of here. Seriously, let's work together to believe. What I want to do this morning is stir your faith. You know the difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is to be believed. Teaching is to be done. Somebody teaches you, it's supposed to change your life in your activity. You're supposed to do something differently that you didn't do before. That's true teaching. Preaching is believe this. It does something. And you see Paul, he uses preaching and teaching both fisted. He'll say, you're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Preaching. Therefore, don't lie to each other. Take off all falsehood. This is the fact. Therefore. Here it is. What we're doing this morning, God's reminding us fact. I just want to give you the fact of the gospel one more time. So here are my, unfortunately, it's not top 10 like they do on Letterman. It's 12, which is a good number. And I'm not going to hit the punchline at the end the way they do. I'm just going to give them to you. I want you to get a hold of why the good news is good. First of all, number one, through the gospel, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. I'm forgiven, dude. I'm forgiven. Everything I've ever done, everything I'll ever do. Finished. Forgiven. How good it feel to get that paper, Johnny? Come on. He's got a paper. It says, we're not going to court. You are done with this. Woo! Now, I bet when you got this piece of paper, you said, oh, well, that's nice. Well, all right, I can live with that. Johnny, his feet were moving because he said, I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to go to jail. Woo! They opened that door. When they opened that door, he said, I'm walking out of here. Maybe it's been some time since that happened to you. I remember the first night I got saved. I laid my head down on my pillow and I said, finally doing something right. There's something in me that feels right. I feel like I'm okay now. You know, can you remember that feeling? That's the gospel. With the gospel, all is forgiven. His death was my punishment. See, you're not, the only thing I can think of better than what Johnny's experienced here, they said, okay, you're not guilty. We don't have any evidence. You're free. The only thing I can think of better than that would be if you were guilty. They found the evidence. They convicted you, and you got to go free anyway. That's the gospel. Hey, he paid for my sin. And the devil can come to me 24/7 and say, you're no good, you're no good. Look what you did, you're a sinner. And I say, yes, you're right about that. Brother said, hey, man, you know, y'all know my past. Hey, I got one of those pasts. And if you don't have one of those pasts, you're not looking at it correctly. We all got a past. See, it was the Pharisees. They were the screwed up religious people were the ones who thought they didn't have a past. They were wrong. We all got that. But I am free. All is forgiven. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for me. Come on. This is good news. You're guilty, but you go free. You've been declared innocent. Everything you've ever done, everything you'll ever do, you're free. What a deal. This is good news. See, people walk around with the gospel like we're ashamed to tell somebody, like we're carrying a disease. We got good news. See, everybody knows they're a sinner. You don't have to tell them that. That's not part of the gospel. That's just part of the fact of life. Everybody knows they're a sinner. But I got an answer for sin. It's the gospel. Amen? Paid in full. My eternity is secured. The gospel has power in it because my eternity is secure. I was going to hell. Hell is a real place. Don't ever think it's not. Hell is real. And without Jesus, that's where you're going. I was headed there, man. And one day, through the gospel, through the preaching of the good news to me, my eternity was changed from eternal darkness, fire, torment, pain, misery, to eternal bliss. Come on. It don't get any better than that. Keep the lottery. This is good. See, it's too good to be true. It's just like almost too good to be true. We're sitting there going, yeah, that sounds good, sort of. You know, I don't know. It just blows the mind. How many of you remember that you were going to hell? You remember that? Can you remember those days when you said, man, if something doesn't change, I know I'm going to face Jesus and he's going to do me in. But on this side of the gospel, we're free. It's changed. Hell is avoided and heaven is secured. And it's eternity. And people who think that Christianity or any other type of man-made religion, you know, they look at it in terms of, oh, well, it'll give me a better quality of life, and then we die, and that's it. Doesn't work that way. There is an eternity. You are a being. You will always be a being somewhere in some condition. And through the gospel, our eternity is secure. Amen? It's good. The gospel is good because it's free. How much better can this get? You'd think God would make us pay something. But he said, I love you. I will pay it all. I will pay all for you. I'll take what you deserve. You take what I deserve. How about that? This is good news. Why do they hate the gospel? Well, it's probably because people aren't preaching it right. None of this I've said, people ought to get in on that. When I hear it, I'm like, man, okay, sign me up. It's good because it's free. And this is the age of amnesty. What people don't get is that we're right here, right now, living in this bizarre space and time where it's free. You can walk away from all your sin for free. You're off the hook. Just like that. This is that time. And we have that message. See, and that's why God's reminding us. What's the point? Why am I telling you this? You're the saved people, right? Because you forgot you got all the power in the world. You've got everything. You don't need a program. You don't need help. You don't need the 7 steps to the 9 keys to the 12 easy secrets. What about the gospel? Jesus Christ died on the cross, and in him I am saved. Saved. Free. Man, it's good. Are y'all laughing with me or at me? I don't know. The prison door is standing wide open. Johnny'd be a fool if he was sitting there in jail and they said, here's your paper. And he said, I don't know. He said, thank you. Bye. That's the way people, when you hear the gospel, you need to look at it and say, thank you. Bye. I'll take it. I may not understand it all, but I'll take it. The next reason why the gospel is good news is because it's where God proves his love. The Bible says, many a man claims unfailing love, but a faithful man, who can find? The question of this age is not, is there a God? To me, that's a meaningless question. Of course there's a God. How'd we get here? The question is there a God who cares? That's what people really want to know. Is there a God who cares? Well, in the gospel, through the gospel, we find that God so loved us that he took the most precious thing in heaven, gave it up for me. He proved he loves us. Man, if you can just get this, your friend, Jesus, saw you in your distress, and he took on all you are, your sin, your weakness, your depravity, and he took it on himself, and he picked up that cross, and he put it on his back, and he carried it up that hill until his strength gave out. You don't have any friends like that. I love you, but I don't know if I can do that for you. I'd like to think I can do that. But what I do know is we have a friend in Jesus who came to us, became all we are so he could become all he is. And he took our junk and he carried it until all his strength gave out. His heart broke on that cross. It's good news. That is good news. He put his money where his mouth is. He became a curse so we could have the blessing. He became poor so we could become rich. He became sick so we could be whole. He experienced death so we could have life. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's the great exchange. Whew. He does all the hard work. Now, who's getting the deal here? We always feel like God's trying to make me do something. Listen. God's the man in the white hat. He's done it all. It's finished. That was his last words on this earth. It's finished. Done. Every problem you'll ever have, every problem you've ever had, solved 2,000 years ago. Finished. Okay, inside, I know you're standing on your chairs going, yeah! It's true. It's good. Good news. It's finished. We don't have to wait. We don't have to guess whether it's going to turn out right. It's over. I've read the book and we win. We win. This is good news. Who does not want this? Come on. We preach the gospel to people out in the mall like we're trying to infect them. Get them to buy a vacuum cleaner or something. Who could not want this? See, and that's how you know it's God. Nobody could dream something up this good. It's just too good. It's good because it's universal. The gospel is universal. It's to whosoever. It's not for the elite. It's not for the wise. It's not for the high-bred. It's for the poor. It's for the simple. It's for the lowly. It's for the children. It's for the mentally handicapped. I was up in the mountains one time just seeking the Lord, and I was wrestling over some pretty difficult theological items, and was just kind of processing and wrestling with a few things before the Lord, and I went down for breakfast down in the McDonald's there, and there was a gathering of 8 farmers, and I was sitting here just kind of processing all the things and having my McMuffin, you know, and they were over there, and I was just began to, I could overhear the conversation going on, you know, and the guy come in, hey, how you doing there? I'm glad you got to see me there. All right, but how's the crops going, you know? And the Lord said to me, he said, you know, all that stuff you're thinking about, if you can't go over to that table and explain it to them, it's not me. Because if they can't get it, then it didn't come from me. Because I don't write stuff like that. You know, Jesus came, they said, tell us the great mysteries of the kingdom. He said, well, a guy had some seed, he put it in the ground, and some came up, and you know, and the theologians were like, what? What's he saying? You can't tell stories. I'm sure some of you were thinking that last week. He's just telling stories. Where's the theology? It's in there. The mysteries of the kingdom. It's for everybody. It's universal. Whosoever. All who are thirsty. What's your requirement? Thirsty. Thirsty? Anybody can be thirsty. Will be fed. The only people who can't get in are the proud ones. Pride blinds you. The Lord showed me a picture one day. I want to share it with you because it'll help you. I just saw a full-length mirror, piece of glass, and it, you know how like a one-way mirror, you can see through it, but it's reflective the other way? Is that a one-way? That's a one-way, right? I saw this piece of glass, and at the top, it was fully reflective, and it was like graded all the way down to the bottom, and at the bottom, though, it was 100% clear. So 100% reflective at the top, 100% clear at the bottom. It's about the size of a man. And the Lord showed me that picture. I was like, okay, what do I do with that? He said, you know, if you stand up tall, all you see is you. But the further down you get, you can see something. And in fact, about here at start, you can really, and it's clear, and by the time you get down all the way with your chin on the ground, you can see 100%. The problem is, most of us are standing up like this. The proud man cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What does he do? He stands here and looks at himself. The Bible says that the Pharisee, when he stood up, prayed to himself. But the publican outside was down on the ground, beating his chest. And he said, now that man is the one who goes home justified. The proud cannot enter. Other than that, it's universal. The reason, another reason, how am I doing? I just meant on time. Please don't say anything about quality. The next reason that the gospel is good news is because in him we have new life. New life. See, the reason people kill themselves is because they hate their life. Well, we have the answer. Fine. You want to die? How about we get rid of that life and give you a new one? See, the devil, all he's got is imitation. Suicide is just an imitation of being born again. You know? It's his little cheap and easy and quick answer. Oh, yeah, just kill yourself, whatever. But it's a trick. The truth is, those feelings are legitimate. You feel like dying? Good! Good for you! Get rid of that life and come get this new one. The reason people want to die is because they're not happy. Well, here's happy. With God, there's joy. In your presence are pleasures forevermore. Inexpressible. Full of glory. Joy so big you can't even put it into words. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I have. And it'll fix you. I won't even go into that, but I want to tell you something. Okay, maybe I will. Let me just tell you. I went for a long time, never had any kind of spiritual type experience. I was a pastor in a church for years and never really had a, what we would call, I guess, a charismatic type, you know, supernatural thing with God. And then one day I did. God just showed up and whacked me. Good. I want to tell you something. In the presence of Jesus, if you ever, the closer you get, if you ever have this where you get close to Jesus, suddenly I realized this is all I've ever wanted right here. Just this. Just being near to him. And if I could just get nearer, that'd be great. Just being near to him, you forget everything. You just, any accomplishment, anything you can imagine that you think would thrill your heart on this planet, just blanks out. It just goes, you just think, that's just trash compared to this right here. I realized how I can be happy in heaven forever. People say, well, what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be sitting on clouds and playing harps? Or are we going to be working? What are we going? I don't care. If I get to be near to Jesus, in his presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at his right hand. You just, if you haven't connected to God in that fashion, I highly recommend it. It'll ruin you for this world. It will. You just, people say, well, you know, I travel all over the world, go to places. I went to one place deep in the heart of Africa where I was the first white man they had ever seen. That's always exciting. You know, you're pulling up and all the little kids are like, Mundele, Mundele, which means white man, Mundele. And they come running. And, you know, they're all, and the car stops and they all look at you like, you know, and the older kids are going, see, I told you they existed. You know, there's, you know, but the little ones are like, that guy is a freak. I don't know what to do with that. And people say, well, aren't you scared to go over there? Aren't you scared to go? You know, that's the Congo. I mean, that's, you can get killed over there. Aren't you scared? And I always say, well, hang on a second. I say, Jesus, are we scared to go to the Congo? We're not scared. No, he says we're not scared. So we're going. See, being near to him is everything. In him, we have new life. Him and us and him. God is a genius. If you're taking notes, write this down. God ain't stupid. He's a genius. He's brilliant. He put me in Christ and Christ in me. How good is that? See, he put us in the one place where we can't be touched by the world. And so we're in him. He's in us. That's good news. You remember I told you the little story? I need to move on. But you remember I told you the little story about my girls playing soccer? Those of you here last week. I forgot to tell you this one thing. When I watch my girls play soccer, I get this feeling inside of myself that says, you know, if I could just somehow, like they do in the movies, if I could magically change places with them somehow, just for a minute. See, I know how to play soccer. My kids don't. I do. If I could just get in their body, see, and just get out there, man, I could slam those goals. I'd be right there and say, who is that girl? You know, I'd be, goal, 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 Campbell, whoo, goal, you know. Because I know what I'm doing, and they don't know what they're doing. You need to get this. Your father has that same feeling. He's looking at you going, oh, I could just get in there. If they would just let me drive a minute. If God's your co-pilot, change seats. He's thinking, man, if I could, because he knows how to do this thing. See, he proved it with Jesus, right? Jesus came down there, he did it. He just walked through life, and the devil came, and he said, nope, 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 nope. And things, sickness, nope, demon, out. Okay, you, raise the dead, good. And he just walk on down. He knows how to do this thing. You didn't see Jesus going, oh, how am I going to pay the bills this month? He doesn't do that. He knows how to do this. And it's the same way he's in you now. If you get out of the way a little bit, get your hands off the steering wheel a little bit, man, he could get wild. He could. He knows what he's doing. So it's new life, him in us. The gospel is good news because within it is the power to change. Amen. Amen, brother. Power to change. I'm going to just preach to myself over here a minute. Power to change. It's not a gospel that erases our sins, and then we go and dirty them again. See, when I first heard the gospel, when somebody first told me the thing about Jesus, they said, yeah, and it'll wipe out all your sins. My first thought was, well, that's good, but I'm going to sin again today. I don't know how to not sin. Anybody else have that? Okay, I'm the only one. Looking at me, holy. I knew. I said, the problem is not that I have sinned. The problem is I'm a sinner. I don't know any other thing but sin. Well, the gospel brings the power to change. It transforms us. We are reborn, regened. Our genetic makeup has been changed. Our DNA has been swapped out with the DNA of heaven. And now I can live free. You see that? Because otherwise, some people preach the half gospel, which is Jesus forgives your sins, so just keep sinning and he'll keep forgiving. No. In fact, the language of the Bible, let me just read you a real quick excerpt here from John. 1 John 2 says this. 1 John 1, end of it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. All right, so nobody's without sin. Amen? Or oh me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us and what? Purify us. Huh. A little more than just forgiving there, eh? Little purification. That's nice. And if we claim we've not sinned, then we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, listen to this language. I write this to you so that you will not sin. What's God's will for you? That you do not sin. Can I just tell you my testimony? When I heard this right here, I didn't sin for 2 weeks. Hey, laugh on. Laugh if you want. I didn't. That's a whole other sermon I wish I could preach to you about the righteous life, the righteousness of God. People say, oh, we sin all the time. I just sin when I get up this morning. Really? Why? The devil's got you thinking you've sinned. A sin is a choice. It's when you choose wrong. You can ask people Sunday morning. You can say, all right, now how many of you have sinned this morning? Oh, yes, I've already sinned. Well, what'd you do? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure I did something. Well, who told you that? Where'd that come from? Is that the Holy Spirit there going, you're a sinner. You've sinned. Well, what'd I do? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. If somebody's not going to tell you what you did, then you can recognize that voice. That is not Holy Spirit voice. That's the other voice. I write this to you so that you will not sin. The rule is not sin. Here's the exception. But if anybody does sin, you see that? You hear this? If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. In other words, yeah, you're covered if you sin, but I'm writing you this so that you don't sin. Christians should not be sinning. This may be a little deep for you, but that's the way. Christians should not be sinning. There is a righteous life for us. There is a power to change. It comes in the gospel. Unfortunately, for years, I was only preached half the gospel to me, and I was preaching half the gospel to others, that he'll keep forgiving you, but there was no power to live a righteous life. The grace of God that has appeared to all men teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Grace teaches us to say no. Wish I could camp there for a minute, but I can't. It cures who I am and not just my past. See, the problem's me, right? I'm my biggest problem. Well, there's a cure for that, which leads me to the next reason why the gospel is good news, because it allows for my... Everybody okay? Are we all right? Have we lost anybody? Okay, just a few. It allows for my weakness. The gospel plan includes your weakness. See, otherwise, God just did this gospel plan, and then suddenly you come up and he goes, Stephen's weak. Now what? It never occurred to me. Come on. God knew what you're made of when he called you. He knows you're weak. In fact, what are we supposed to do when we encounter our own weakness? What did Paul do about his weaknesses? He said, I will all the more boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of God may be seen in me. See? He said, I came to you in weakness so that your faith might not rest on man's eloquence, on the wisdom of men, but on God's power. See, you're not a very good demonstration of God's power unless you're weak. People need to see the wounded healer. People need it. They don't, you know, when I see somebody that's Mr. Perfect, I can't relate. I mean, I'm glad, I'm so happy for you, how happy you must be. But I can't get on that. I don't know how to follow that. You know, you see Mr. Perfect and he says, follow me. I say, no. I'd love to, but I'm an honest man. I can't be perfect. But what I can do is be weak and let his power work in me. With these hands, I've put hands on people, seen ears pop open, seen people raised up that have been on sick beds for months and months. I've seen amazing things, but I'm still just me. You know what I mean? And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. I'm just a guy. But that's who Jesus called. Look at his 12. Come on. We make fun of them, but I mean, you know, they're like us in a lot of ways. And still, even after Pentecost and the Holy Ghost and Peter going, get up, raising the dead, shadow, healing people, he still misses it. Right there in Scripture, out in front of everybody. It's okay. We will boast in our weaknesses. The gospel is good news because it brings full redemption. How many of you know what the restoration of all things is about? What that means is anything you've ever lost will be restored. Any injustice that's ever been will be made right. The last guy will be the first guy, and the first guy will be the last. You see, there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to put it all right. Just have to worship Jesus. That's good. Can you imagine everything you've ever lost? Brother, you ever lose anything? You ever had some loss? It's all coming back. It's all going to be made right. There's not a thing you can lose that won't be restored. Because Jesus can't help himself. He is the restorer of all things. Bill Johnson's having this thing right now. If your faith can handle this, I'll go ahead and there's a couple in their house that they're walk through their house and finding diamonds. They found over 100, I'm not just a diamond, 100 diamonds over a period of months. Diamonds are showing up in their house. There's a guy, he lost his wallet. These are stories, you can get online and check these out and you can talk to the people who actually have experienced these. Guy lost his wallet. And he got to thinking, and Bill Johnson, the preacher out in Redding, had been preaching on the restoration of all things. And the guy said, I want my wallet back. Him and his family are standing there. The wallet appears at the table and falls on the table just like that. The whole family's standing there. It's not like one guy's making this up. A week later, there's another guy. He's at the amusement park. He's a businessman, loses his briefcase. He's walking back, and he's looked all over the place. He's like, God, I can't find my briefcase. And he goes, I remember that guy last week talked about the wallet dropping on the thing. He said, I want my briefcase back. Inside the car, it's sitting on the front seat. As soon as he says that. Now, that may be a little out there for you. Jesus is the restorer of all things. He is. I've seen it myself. I'm just telling you, that's the way he is. There's going to be full redemption. Marriages, redeemed. Let me give you this word that'll help you. Jesus is the untangler. Lord showed me that a few years ago. You just meet people, and you see tangles. You know what I'm saying? How many of you ever been in a spot and you think, how did I get like this? Holy moly, how did I get like this? What? Somewhere back there it started tangling up, and then I wake up one day and I think, oh my gosh, look at this. Jesus is the untangler.
He loves a good knot. Because he knows what he's doing. He'll just get that thing. And he'll work it, and he'll work it, and he will restore everything. Come on now, that's good news. You know he's going to do it at the end, but he says it like this. You know there's a future dispensation of that when we'll see the restoration of all things in the future, right? Kingdom come, whatever that next age is about. But there's also this, because they said, Jesus said, his disciples said, Lord, we've left everything we have to follow you. What did he say? He said, whoever has left, houses, lands, mothers, fathers, you know, people, will receive 100 times as much, not only in the age to come, but in this life as well. Is that what he said or not? Did he say those words? See, there's a now component to that too. He's about restoration. He's a restorer. He can't help himself. That's what he does. So the gospel brings restoration. Amen? Okay, I am pushing toward the end. Matter of fact, I'm over a little bit. I'm just gonna rip through it. Is that okay? Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up. Through the gospel, we have purpose and destiny. No more meaningless life. No more useless feeling. How many of you feel like you're just so challenged in the morning you can't wait to get out of bed? All right, you need to revisit the gospel. Do you remember the day you got saved and you said, God, this is good. Aunt Sally needs to hear this right here. You remember that? Am I the only one? I had 15 people. I was like, God, as soon as I can find them. I did. I went back and found my best friend, and I said, dude, you need to hear the. And he's like, whoa, what is this you're bringing in here? I don't know. I said, this is awesome. You need to see this. We're lost. You're going to hell, dude. I mean, you know, when you're young, you don't, you know, that's all you got. You know, you're a little bit, you know, you're jazzed about it, but you got the enthusiasm, but you don't really have the tact yet. Well, hey, why don't you trade in some of your tact and get a little more enthusiasm? This is good. Tell people, hey, I've got a purpose and destiny. I knew when I got saved, before I got saved, before I signed on with Jesus, I knew I'd spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel and getting people out of hell and into heaven. I knew that I'd be making disciples. Come on. You can change your world. And if you never change the whole world, but you just change one person, come on, from being in hell eternally to being with Jesus, what's that worth? You could just write the rest of your life off and just do that one guy, and you would have had time well spent. Come on, amen? Is that good? Man, we have an eternal destiny. We've got the stuff. We can make a difference. We can change people. The gospel is good news because we can know him, and I just don't have time to camp there either. But man, knowing him, knowing the one who hangs the stars, knowing the one who knows everything, knowing the one who, I mean, it's him. Forget all your treasure, him. Wish I could go more there. Inexpressible and glorious joy. And finally, we get to join the winning team now. This is the day you don't have to fight Jesus. Can I just share with you how I got saved? And I'm going to wrap on this. This is how I got saved. I went through a Bible study. My brother was teaching me about stuff. And, you know, I'd been in church all my life. But we started studying the Word. And he showed me about Jesus, showed me about love and discipleship and all the things that I kind of had missed. You know, I'd sat in church for years and years and just kind of missed it. But the thing that turned it for me when I made my decision for Jesus was when we read Luke 14. In Luke 14, you see there's a parable of counting the cost. He gives several parables. One of but the one that got me, he said like this. Here's this parable. You need to hear this. He said, suppose, let me read it to you just so I don't butcher it for you, because I will probably read my own version into it. But in Luke 14, he says this. Counting the cost. He says in verse 31, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. So two kings at war. will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. When I read those words, I realized the gospel truly is universal. The fact is, one day the king is coming back. Jesus is coming. One day I'll face the judgment. And what I read from that right there, I thought, you know, no matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to beat Jesus. I mean, I'm pretty good, but I ain't that good. Now, I knew there'd be no way to stand before this coming king. And that's where the gospel starts to get real teeth to it. Because you talk to people and say, oh, I don't believe that, or oh, I believe in this. Okay, whatever. But here's the fact. The king is coming. And unless you're able to stand against him, unless you're able to take Jesus, I recommend heartily that while he's a long way off, you ask for terms of peace. I was 21 years old when I heard that. And something inside me said, boy, you're never going to get around Jesus. You're never going to get around the king. When he comes, he's going to be fierce. He's not coming back to die for sins a second time. He's not coming back like the lamb. He's the lion coming back. And unless you think you can take him, you better get on his side. Now, I wish I could tell you that I had some noble thought of, well, maybe, you know, he just loves me so much, I just better love him back. But I didn't have any of that. I wanted to save my neck. It's true. Because God knows that not everybody's built noble. But everybody wants to save their neck. Listen, your friends, your relatives that are giving you trouble, the ones that, you know, say, hey, don't tell me about that Jesus stuff, you need to change your tune. I mean, if you've already told them Jesus loves them, great. What you need to tell them is, look, boy, king's coming back. If you can stand, good on you. But you can't. You can't do Jesus. He's going to do you. That's where the gospel hits home. We need to be saying that to our people because people are just marching on into hell and we're kind of just, you know, throwing out, well, I don't know. You know, they asked Osteen on the thing the other day, do you know, is Jesus the only way? He said, well, look, Jesus is coming back, and he's the king of heaven, and he don't play. If you can't take him, you better get on his side. The gospel says, all the good stuff I've told you, all the good stuff. There's so much good about it. The best thing is you can right now cease to be an outlaw, and just by one act of faith, you can step over, and Jesus will come inside you. He'll live in there. He'll rearrange your life. He'll do the untangle bit. He's going to, and the world is yours. The universe, forget the world. Everything is yours in Christ. It's all right there, and it's all that simple. But we are living among people who will not take that one step, who say, I'm just not going to do it. And they're going to face the king that way. Your father wanted to remind you of the goodness of the gospel, and the word he said to me was, I want them to renew their partnership in the gospel. We are partners in the gospel. If you have received the gospel, if all this good news is yours, then you're a partner in the sharing of it. Amen? I'm not going to try to scare you with, oh, you know, if you let your neighbor slip into hell. I'm just telling you, you got the stuff. You have strength enough. You have what it takes to transform this city, your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, your school. You've got the stuff. It's time to renew our partnership. Amen? I wonder if we could do that. You know, heaven, the currency of heaven is decisions. When the lost son made a good decision, it says all of heaven rejoices, right? When one sinner repents. And if we could make a good decision here today, it's going to make heaven party. Can we do that? Can we just in our hearts, can we renew our partnership in the gospel? Can we say, you know, Lord, I forgot how good it is. Maybe I'm far enough away from my own salvation. I just kind of, you know, I need to blow the dust off and say, man, this is life and death, heaven and hell, in the balance. Can we do that? Can we just take a minute and however suits you best to do business with God, just tell him, yeah, I've heard you, and I'm in. I'm in for the gospel. I'm in for preaching. And the people I've kind of let slide, I'll get to them. Is that all right? Without dropping guilt, without that kind of, you know, oh, who have I? No. How about today? I remembered how good this stuff is, and I'm going to go give it to somebody. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You bore our sins in your body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Now we pray. Now we come before you. Just us, Lord, it's just us in this room, and we come to you and we say, Lord, we remember how good the gospel is. We remember the good news. You set us free. You've accepted us. And now we want to respond. Lord, we now respond. We renew our partnership in the gospel. Hey, if there's somebody here that has not responded to the gospel, this would be a good time. This would be a great time. Because the king's still a long way off. If you're here and you don't know how you're going to face the king on that day, this would be an awesome time to make peace with him. Anybody here need to do that, want to do that? TikTok. In Jesus' name, we come to you and we say, Father, make us gospel preachers. Help us put aside all the little other things that have distracted us. And we say we want to tell people about heaven and warn them about hell and preach the cross. Lord, we want to tell them their sins are forgiven and their Father calls them, that there is life. And suicide's not the answer, but dying to self and receiving new life. Lord, put those words on our lips. Put that burden in our heart. Make us your ambassadors, stretching out your hands to the lost and dying around us. Lord, we renew our partnership in the gospel. We are your partners. Use us, speak through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.